some repairs you might need to deal with? The housing market is booming again, so make sure you know what you're buying. Join Rosie on the House next Saturday morning on this station.
And welcome back to Rosie on the House. The two things I'm asked about all year long more than anything else is, Rosie, when's the next Crawfish Festival? And Rosie, what's super cooling? So today we've brought in Mr. Steve Kep, the father of super cooling.
First Saturday in August is the next Crawfish Festival.
Just and so you know. I can't wait. Dog. They are fun.
We didn't do it last year for health reasons. I didn't have time to mess with it this year. I have a cousin from Louisiana. He married my first cousin, Calvin and Sonia Sibley Vanderplug, called and said, you know what? We live in Lakeside now. We know you're too busy for the Crawfish Festival. Why don't you let us put it on? I said, go for it. So it's on, baby.
Let's do it. Oh, that sounds fun. First weekend in August. Well, Steve, we're here in studio with Steve Kep of Advanced Home Systems, and we're talking about super cooling. It's tactic. And, Steve, I don't know that I can explain it any easier than how you taught it to me. Rosie, if the filling station on the corner is going to sell exactly the same gas between 7 p.m. and noon for $1 a gallon and from noon to 7 p.m. for $2.50 a gallon, when are you going to fill your tank up?
Absolutely.
I don't know that you could explain it any easier than that.
Well, in fact, it's even better than that. It's gas at 30 cents a gallon and then for $2 a gallon. So energy is just electricity is energy, or cooling is actually electricity converted into cooling. So when you can buy electricity at 6 cents a kilowatt hour in those off-peak periods, which is one-fourth of what you pay during on-peak, you can run your air conditioner for 4 hours in off-peak for what 1 hour of on-peak costs. So by supercooling your structure, you're actually using your home like a battery to store electricity, only you're storing it in the form of cooling. Your structure, your walls, your floors, your countertops, the clothes in the closet, all of that. So that during the on-peak time, your air conditioner doesn't have to work near as hard because it's in such a cool structure to begin with. And you get a dramatic split of power usage, usually 90% off-peak, 10% on-peak. That produces the lowest electric bill, even though you're using a few more kilowatt hours than you had before.
2 points I'd like to bring up. One, it's the 90-10 split. And people call me and they're just and you talk to them every day. They want to beat the man. I mean, they want to get their utility bill down to where APS pays them, you know, just for the privilege of buying their power, and they're trying to get it down low. And I've taken calls from people that have described to me their home, described to me how they live, described to me their power bill, and I said, you know, if you're anywhere close at the end of the month to 10 cents a kilowatt, you really have to decide how many more sacrifices in your lifestyle are you willing to change. I can see it getting lower than that, but at some point, you're obsessing.
Well, you are, and in my opinion, you're sacrificing lifestyle. Because you're allowing that house to warm too much.
Yeah. And if all of you would go get your APS bill in particular, we're going to talk about the other utility companies, but it works particularly well in the APS provision areas. Take the total dollar of the bill and go do your last July or last August bill. And there's a space there that tells you the total kilowatt hours you consume, what your total bill is. Divide the kilowatts into the dollars. That'll tell you how much per kilowatt you're paying. And Dave in Buckeye that you were talking about at the bottom of the hour was way up at 18 cents a kilowatt. I said, Dave, we can cut that in half.
Absolutely.
We can get that to 10 or less.
His high summer bill
so
was hitting.
That's what I want people to look at.
His high summer bill was hitting 273. And by using super cooling, we expect that and to switch to the time of use rate because he was on the standard rate. We expect that high bill to drop to $170. So that's a $100 savings and living more comfortable, and he didn't have to invest a dime.
Didn't have to invest a dime. Now, I know we have callers online, but the other thing I want to talk about before we go to callers is the other thing I'm asked about supercooling all the time is they say, Rosie, you're an enemy of the planet. You're encouraging people to consume more power. And I know what I tell them. Steve, it's the greenest thing you can do. Tell them why.
It's absolutely the greenest thing you can do. It's because what happens is in off-peak periods, the utility is still producing the power needed for those on-peak periods. They can't just fire plants up and down like that. So in off-peak, they have excess power that they don't know what to do with. And they sell it at a huge discount. Mining operations melt copper with electricity because they can buy it so inexpensively in those off-peak periods. Well, the utility passes that on to the consumer, that if you use power during these off-peak periods when we have excess, we will give you a tremendous break in the price of that kilowatt hour. And that allows you to pre-cool your home and not add to the demand during the day when everybody else is demanding electricity, which is a peak demand problem, and that's the most expensive power the utility can generate. So it's actually the best thing you can do to help the environment, to help the utility company, to minimize power plants being brought online.
The midsummer, late afternoon, peak demand of consumers on electricity is what the power companies must build their power plant capabilities to. If we could all aggregately come together and lower that, we could put off the construction of a power plant for decades.
Absolutely. And most of these peaker plants are going to be natural gas, coal. You know, they're not the most efficient nor environmentally friendly generation stations. So, yeah, it's the best way to save the planet and be as green as you can, help with the utility and eliminate needing to build peaker plants.
What do you say we get to the calls,
Roby,
gentlemen?
I know we've got some callers. Yeah, let's do.
All right. Let me ask you this. Greg is on hold the longest and generally first in, first out, but he wants to know, does super cooling wear out the air conditioning equipment? Do we take that one now, or do we save it for Isley's in the next hour?
Well, let me answer it, and then Isley can answer it.
Okay, so you'll get two answers, Greg. We're going to answer you now, and then we'll answer
you. For the price of one.
In the next hour. There we go. Go ahead, Greg and Gilbert.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. Yes, that was my question, thinking about supercooling, but realizing that with supercooling, say your heat pump might actually run 3, 4, 5 hours in a row as opposed to having it go on and off. And I spoke to a tech once, and he seemed a little bit unsure as to which was better, but others said that they thought having it run continuously was actually better for the unit. So I wanted to get a little input from you, if you could, on that.
And that's exactly how I understand it, Greg. An air conditioner could run nonstop for 10 hours, and it's actually less on that air conditioner than if you cycled that system 20 times in that 10-hour period. So longevity of an air conditioner, I have never seen one affected yet by supercooling. Plus, the runtime that you do in that off-peak period is now going to be offset because you're not going to run as much during the on-peak period. So the run times almost are identical to one another. You just don't have as much cycling. But to answer your question, no negative effect on an air conditioner whatsoever.
And if you're a super smart homeowner and super diligent, all the money you're saving on your air conditioning bill by super cooling you put aside could pay for your next air conditioner at the point you're up ready to upgrade for efficiency or just your old one clonks finally.
My wife doesn't agree with that. She thinks it ought to pay for a trip to Disneyland.
Hey, it's a free country. To each their own. Let's go to Sue and Arcadia next on the line.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
My question is very similar to or a step up from the last question. My concern was the wear and tear. I understand the principle of supercooling, but the wear and tear on an old unit. I have two Lexus that are maintained spring and fall, and they're 19 and one is 21 years old, and they just keep chugging along. Is that too much of a strain on old units?
Sue, that's a very good question, and the best way I can answer that for you is I had a house that was built in 57, air conditioner was installed in 56, it was a Gettle. That unit ran until 2010, from 1956, and I was using supercooling on that air conditioner. And the air conditioner, when I replaced it, it wasn't because it stopped working and was dead. It was just, I thought, was time to get a more efficient unit put on the house.
There you go. We appreciate the call. What happened to the old unit? You said it wasn't dead. Did
they took
scrap
it
metal?
Off. Through, I think they put it in a museum somewhere.
Carla in Peoria is next. 1-888-767-4348. As we clear the calls, it's a great opportunity to get on the line. Joanna's taking your calls. 1-888-767-4348. It'll get you in queue. Carla.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. I'm new to supercooling. I have a thermostat, a Honeywell 7-day programmable thermostat in one room. I have the same in the other, but a couple of years ago it didn't work, so I had to quickly go out and get a lesser model, a manual one, because winter was coming, it was getting cold. So I put it in, and I've been starting to supercool. And my question is, my ACs will probably need to be changed out. The house is 10 years old, and I'm waiting to change out thermostats. What is the suggestion of thermostats for Wi-Fi? Does the Nest work? Do you have to have the same thermostat if it's a Wi-Fi? I'm getting tired of doing the manual for supercooling, but I'm holding out. And my bill last month was like $25.
And that's a very good question, Carla. Thermostats is a preference of what do you like. I like a nice, simple, battery-backed, programmable thermostat that you can set in the off-peak times at a cool temperature, the on-peak times as a warmer temperature. Wi-Fi thermostats, I've had a lot of experience with them, and they're nice. They're the newest technology, but I've got so much technology running around right now, I just didn't want any more. I didn't need an app on my phone to tell me the temperature.
It's unnecessary
to
use
totally
a Nest if you're using supercooling as a method with your rates.
Yeah, because a setback thermostat is marginal on what it's going to be able to do unless you use it in conjunction with an electric rate that prices are different.
And, Steve, once we get people onto the right rate plan, and we're recommending the noon to 7 time advantage plan, you're buying power for 1/4 the price, off-peak or on-peak. And where I really began to manipulate my bill a bit was not only the programmable thermostats, but the Advanced Home Systems Energy Computer allowed me, because APS will you on that peak demand that you hit, and the computer lets me say, house, you can never demand more than a 5.5, and it's connected to the other electric devices in the house, so not only pushing my consumption off peak helped, but boy, the energy management computer that capped my peak, really, I mean, when people see my bill, I can manage it to below 8 cents a kilowatt, and that's a 2,800 square foot home. And it does help that Jennifer and I are now empty nesters. Carol's at college, but we're paying midsummer bills of just slightly over $200.
Isn't that wonderful?
At 68
you're living,
degrees.
Yeah, and you're living like a king in your castle. And, you know, that's right, Rosie.
Yeah.
The rate we've got you on is combined advantage, where it's got the demand factor. Plus, on that rate, your off-peak kilowatt hours are only 4.5 cents, where on time advantage, they're 30% more, 6.1 cents. And during on-peak, you're 8 cents, where on time of use, you're 24 cents. But we control that demand factor. That's definitely the best way to get the lowest bill possible without a big impact on your lifestyle is combined advantage with demand management. But people that don't have
man.
The time of use rate works great for supercooling and achieving savings without demand management equipment.